Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to listen again to that first lesson that I read to you from Acts chapter 16. We're told there, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. God's word in Christ Jesus, fellow redeemed. So how long do you think it would take you to walk a mile? On average, the average person walks about 3 miles per hour. So it would take you about 20 minutes to walk a mile. But of course that depends on, say, your age, your physical condition, maybe your determination or purpose, why you're walking. For example, if you're out in a park and just on a leisurely stroll, it could take you actually a couple hours to get that mile through the park, right? You gotta stop and see the sights, maybe you gotta talk to people, you gotta take a little rest and so on. So it would take you a little bit longer. If it was an emergency or you're on a marathon, then it would take you only a couple of minutes. It all depends on your purpose and reason for being on this walk. But for the most part, I think most of us do that just for a maybe leisurely pastime, or maybe we do it for exercise. Some people have these thing called Fitbits. You know, that thing that you strap to your wrist and it tells you how many paces you've gone, or how many steps you've taken, or maybe you got one of those apps on your smartphone that tells you and gives you then some health benefits, you know, that you get from walking more. But for the most part, I don't think any of us makes it a habit in our lives to walk for the purpose of getting from here to there on a regular basis. If we want to get someplace, we jump in the car, or we take an airplane, or whatever other kinds of mechanical means of transportation that we got nowadays. But we don't walk deliberately for travel. The Apostle Paul did. That's the only way he got from place to place. And he covered thousands of miles on foot. You've got to wonder how big his legs were, how strong his ability was, to his stamina to do that kind of deliberate travel from place to place. In fact, in the 40 verses of our text for today, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10, we actually have Paul covering about 1,000 miles in just those 5 verses. Imagine. Why in all the world would he do such a thing? Why commit himself to such an extreme form of travel and distance that he covers? To us, that's foreign territory. We can't even comprehend walking only a couple of miles, much less thousands of miles. But Paul had a very good reason for doing that. And it is because of the fact that Jesus is the one who led him, as he leads us, to the places where he needs us. Sometimes Jesus says no to the places where we want to go. And other times Jesus says, go. we are only a couple of days after Ascension Day. Do you realize that? You remember from the calendar from last Sunday? This past Thursday was Ascension Day. 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. That's the reason for that extra green sheet in your bulletin today. I've got the scripture lessons from Ascension Day and today combined, so you can take some time maybe at home and read through, especially that section in Acts chapter 1, the account of Jesus' ascension into heaven. It's vitally important for us to recognize that because Jesus now had finished his work, he had appeared to the disciples for those 40 days after his ascension to prove to them beyond a shadow of a doubt that he truly had actually physically risen from the dead. He was truly physically alive again. And now that his work was complete, he ascended back into heaven. Now to live and rule and govern all things for the good of his church, us, all believers. That's the significance of Jesus' ascension into heaven. Very important day. Huge day. Certainly a day of celebration and victory. But now what are the disciples supposed to do? Jesus had promised them that he would in fact pour out the Holy Spirit upon them in not too many days in the future. They were to wait in Jerusalem until that time, which would be next Sunday. Next Sunday is Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven. And in the meantime, they are to recognize in this waiting period that Jesus has certainly prepared them for this important work that he has now commanded them to do. To go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. To make disciples of all the nations by baptizing and teaching them. But where are you going to begin? That's a pretty big responsibility. That's a huge task. A very important task. But you're going to need help. And that's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost next Sunday. In the meantime, they await what Christ has called them to do and the outpouring of that Holy Spirit so they can carry out his command. And the book of Acts is all about how they go about doing that. First 12 chapters of Acts relate how Jesus poured out the Holy Spirit on them and then enabled them to preach to the people just in Israel, the Jews. And the last 16 chapters of Acts talk about how that was also carried then to the Gentiles. People outside of Israel, especially Paul's 3 missionary journeys and the thousands of miles that he walked in order to preach and teach God's word to lost sinners. So, in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 10, the words of our text for today, we have the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey already. The first one, he left the city of Antioch, which is in Asia Minor, and then went to the island of Cyprus, back onto the mainland in Asia Minor, and going to Lystra, Iconium, and Derbe to plant the good news of the gospel and bring people to faith through the power of the Holy Spirit in those cities, and then return to Antioch. Now, he's on his second missionary journey, doing the same thing, going to those 3 cities, revisiting them to strengthen the believers. We're told in verse 5, the verse just before our text, "So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers." All right, so that's where we are then when we're told Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, without a map, you're not... And even if you had a map, these names wouldn't probably mean a whole lot to you. Paul wanted to go north and west instead of going south and west. Because there were larger cities in the south part of Asia Minor. That would have made more sense to be able to contact more people, but instead, we're told he was kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. We don't know exactly how. We aren't told. And it's not important. But the fact that the Apostle Paul recognized this was not the place to go, he instead turned around and went the other way. North and west instead of south and west. And in so doing, the Lord made it clear to him that, you know, this was the way he was supposed to go. So he figures, well, okay, let's go further north and further west. But then we're told they came to the border of Mysia and tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to then either. It almost seems like, Lord, where do you want us to go? How come, you know, we don't seem to be making any progress here? So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas, the farthest west city in Asia Minor. Oops, the other way. What are they supposed to do now? During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. See, sometimes God says no to the times and the places and the circumstances that we might think are the place we need to go. As with the Apostle Paul. Or in this case, it was actually, the answer wasn't no, it was not yet. Because on his third missionary journey, Paul actually comes down to the south coast of Asia Minor and spends 3 long years in Ephesus. Usually he spent only a month or two in any particular place preaching the gospel and then moving on. But he was able to come back to this territory that he intended to do something with now, and then the Lord gave him the results that he wanted. See, sometimes God says no. And we may not know the understand the reason why, but we do want to recognize that all of that is in God's hands. The where, the how long, the results, and everything else that goes along with gospel mission endeavors. Like with our Wisconsin City. We have had people in Japan preaching the gospel to that group of people, and there has been little progress, numbers-wise, and for all the times, the decades that we've actually been there already, as compared to our missionaries over in Africa, who have been there longer. And yet for a long time, there wasn't a whole lot of progress there either, until just recently, in the last 50 years or more, all of a sudden that has just ballooned. It's all up to God. Where, how, when, and how much he's going to bless and prosper that work that he has called us to do. That's up to him. And certainly in our own backyards, we've got opportunities now to carry on Spanish mission work, Somalian, Hmong, and all kinds of other nationalities of people who have come to America and now are sitting in our own backyards and need to hear the gospel as well. It's incredible the opportunities that God gives to us to carry his news, his good news of life and salvation in, through faith in Christ Jesus, to other people. But he's the one who takes care of the where and the when and the how long and the results and all the other things in each and every one of those areas of opportunity. All we need to do is recognize the opportunities that God gives us and go where he leads. Because that's sometimes then also what we need to remember as well, just to simply go. Go to those who are placed in our path. It's too easy for us sometimes to think that, well, I'm going to go where I want to go. I want to do what I want to do. And sometimes then the Lord makes it very plain that that's not the way it operates. That's why Paul was kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching in Asia, why the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them into Bithynia, but brought them to Troas. Do you realize why that's so important to you and me? Because once Paul had the call to come over to Macedonia, that's the first time the gospel came to Europe. And through Europe, it came to America. And once it came to America, God also led you to believe in Jesus as your Savior. Here's where it all began. Because Paul brought the gospel to this place called Macedonia. Why important? We can see on the last day when God brings all believers to himself and we have an opportunity to see and to visit with other believers, it may well be that we also have an opportunity to see how Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and the others that were with him are congratulated and thanked by those who had opportunity to hear God's word because of the work that they had done. Just yesterday, no, not yesterday, on Friday was the graduation service at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. Call day was on Thursday, Ascension Day. Pretty cool. And you have in your bulletin this morning the list of those who were assigned to various places. How many? 27, 28 men graduated from our Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary and were assigned to places where the Lord wants them to serve. None of them sat there and said, well, you know, I want to go over there. That sounds like a really good place for me. Or what about that? That'd be nice. No, they simply adopted the very same words that the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament had. Here am I, send me, O Lord. Because finally, who is the one in charge? It is our Lord and Savior. Not like you and me where we decide, oh, I'm going to go, you know, live over there. Or that's the job I'm going to take. Or I'm going to live in that house. And that's all fine and good. But when it comes to the Lord's work, he's the one who guides and directs and prospers and blesses the efforts that we make for the good of the gospel. Because he's finally the one who blesses. And he directs where and when and how we are to go. That's why we're told, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I find it fascinating that when Paul received the vision, we're told that, and Luke is the one who's recording this, he says, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. There was no hesitation, there was no reluctance, there was no, well, I don't know, can we do this? No, they instantly recognized how important this work was and went. And so then we have the account of Lydia and the jailer at Philippi who were converted to faith in Christ. We have also the Jews and the Gentiles who were arguing and fighting in Thessalonica, and how Paul had to move on to Berea, and the Bereans who welcomed the message and checked it out to see if Paul was really preaching and teaching God's word. We have the few that were converted in Athens, and then Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos, and many others in the Corinth, in the congregation at Corinth. And all through this series of sequences and things that the Apostle Paul had done, and Luke records for us, we have all the different ways in which God worked through the work of, through the preaching and proclaiming of His word, so that people came to faith as God prospered. You know, sometimes we ask, well, why did this happen to me? Or why am I here? Well, here's your answer. It's because God has placed you here at this time, in this place, among these people, with these opportunities and circumstances, in this situation, to do what? To give you also an opportunity to preach the gospel to those that you come into contact with. To give you the privilege and honor and joy and opportunity to share the good news of a living Savior with those who are still in darkness and despair. To share that good news with everyone you meet in whatever activities you may be involved with, here and now, or, you know, in other places by the support you offer to those who can go in your place. So that also on the last day, when you enter heaven, there will be people who will come up to you and shake your hand and say, thank you for sharing the gospel with me. Just as they will with the Apostle Paul. Because of this certainty that you and I have, Jesus leads us to where He needs us. May He so bless us. Amen. Now let that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Respond then with the confession of our faith on page 163 in your blue hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.